Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time. We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue our examination of the history of heresy by looking at the fourth verse of Jude. So let's read that verse again together. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, we're continuing to study about who these certain persons that Jude talks about here in verse 4 were by studying the seven major groups of heresy. And today I want to complete our look at Socinianism, which is the seventh major heresy to attack the church back in the 16th century. On the last broadcast, I was showing you how that the modern equivalent to the Socinian heresy of rationalism came from the mind and the heart and the pen of a man named Norman Vincent Peale and his notion of the power of positive thinking. Almost single-handedly, Dr. Peale modified the gospel of the Bible into a sort of therapeutic gospel that taught that the real problem with fallen man is low self-esteem, and that thinking good thoughts about yourself is the same thing as being saved. Of course, the Bible does not teach that low self-esteem is the problem with man. The Bible teaches that sin is the problem with man. Let's read Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. Biblical Christianity differs from positive thinking theology on four fundamental fronts. First of all, what the Bible teaches and what Dr. Peale taught about the problem with man is not the same. The Bible teaches that all men, good men and bad men, all men, are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The Bible teaches that not only are all men tainted with the sin nature of Adam, but the Bible clearly teaches that all men are individually and personally guilty of the sin of Adam. This is what is called the doctrine of original sin. Dr. Peale rejected the doctrine of original sin and taught the Pelagian heresy that man is born basically good. Dr. Peale also differed from Scripture on how a man is saved. The Bible very boldly declares that no man can save himself. The Bible teaches that man cannot earn his own salvation through good or moral deeds, and that God is not impressed with actions that are put forth to try to assist God in the saving of a soul. God saves men based upon sovereign grace and sovereign grace alone. Men are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, absent any human works. We don't deserve salvation. We cannot earn it. We can't contribute anything to it. We can't cooperate with God to achieve it. Salvation is all of God, in all by God, in all through God, all to the glory of God. Peale taught that men are lost because they don't know. Peale taught a theology that said that men are lost because of what someone else did to them, and they are found or they are saved based upon what men do for themselves. Once again, the Bible teaches just the opposite of this. The Bible says that men are lost precisely because of what men did to themselves. Adam sinned in the garden precisely because he wanted to. And as soon as we grow old enough to know right from wrong, 100% of all babies will sin. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are already sinners in our hearts, in our soul, and in our nature. But if we are to be saved, it will not be based on anything that we do. It will be based upon what Christ has done for us. Peale taught the false notion that says that men can build up their own righteousness through a series of good works and noble acts that God will recognize and accept as being good enough to qualify them for heaven. These good acts and noble deeds come from a heart and mind that has risen to a place of falling in love with themselves through the building up of their own self in their own mind. Once again, the Bible teaches just the opposite of this. The Bible teaches that in order for men to love God, they have to hate themselves. and anything that is in competition for our own affection. Let's read Luke chapter 14, 26 through 35. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. Therefore salt is good, but if salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now what Jesus was saying here is that no one or no thing should compete with the love and devotion that we have for God. Jesus was saying here that unless we learn to hate or to despise those things that compete with our affections, then that person cannot be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And this teaching of Jesus brings forth what the Puritans called self-loathing, which actually calls men to value human life much more than the teaching of self-esteem ever could do. Biblical self-loathing causes men to love God more than anything else and anyone else, while the unbiblical teaching called self-esteem causes people to love themselves more than anyone else, including God. Scriptural self-loathing looks at man as being lost and sinful and in need of a Savior, while unbiblical self-esteem looks at man as being worthy and being just fine. Self-loathing brings forth a humble and correct view of sinful man, while self-esteem brings forth an arrogant and incorrect view of man. Self-loathing causes humility through the knowledge of our own unworthiness. Self-esteem brings forth arrogance and selfishness and self-centeredness by exalting man higher than he needs to be. Self-loathing causes all men to look to God for help and salvation, while self-esteem causes men to look inward to themselves for help and salvation through the power of man's own so-called inner strength and by applying psychological principles. Self-loathing gives to others because it values God. Self-esteem takes from others because it values self. Self-loathing is grateful to be a servant because it understands man's own inherent unworthiness and teaches that only Christ is master. Self-esteem demands to be recognized, feels slighted when it is not, cannot bear to be second, cannot stand to decrease, and builds up the carnal desire to be its own master. Norman Vincent Peale taught that sin was of no consequence as long as people thought good thoughts. But the Bible says that unless a man is convinced that he is a sinner, he will never repent. And if he never repents, he can never be forgiven. And if he is never forgiven, he can never be saved. Peale taught that what man needed was a change in attitude. The Bible says what men need is a new nature. Peale taught that men can develop their own positive attitude through his teachings. The Bible says that men need a Savior, and his name is Jesus. Peale taught that what men do to themselves and for themselves is all that we need to make ourselves great. The Bible teaches that men can only be great when they die to themselves and live for God, and only God can change the human heart. Peale taught that what man did for himself is what matters. The Bible teaches that what God does for us is all that matters. Peale's teachings bring forth people who don't need God. The Bible's teaching brings forth people who desperately need God. So let's review. What Norman Vincent Peale taught is the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches about things like original sin, man's lostness, total human depravity, sovereign grace, salvation, repentance, and eternity. So other than those few pesky things, I guess what Peale taught was just fine. Some people have come to me to tell me of the many good things that Norman Vincent Peale's philosophy of life did for them or for people that they know. And my response is this. Dear friends, I cannot judge another man's heart. I cannot even judge another man's motive. But I can, and I do, and I should judge what they teach and what they say and what they write based upon the Word of God. And if it doesn't agree with Scripture, then it's wrong, no matter how many people perceive that it has helped them. You know, it isn't like we don't already have a book that God gave us that tells us everything that we need for life and godliness. It isn't like we can't all just turn to God and see what He says about these things. Now, I suppose that if we didn't have a Bible, then Peel's ideas would be as good as anybody else's. But the fact of the matter is that we do have a Bible. And just because people don't read it doesn't in any way negate its truth. And just because some don't believe what it says doesn't change the fact that it is the inerrant and infallible and inspired Word of the living God. And just because some people want to try anything except the Bible doesn't mean that they still won't be judged by the Bible. And just because men will try anything before they will look to Jesus doesn't mean that anything is okay. Norman Vincent Peale should have preached the gospel. He had the opportunity to tell millions that they were lost in sin and they could not save themselves. He had the opportunity to tell them about a Savior who lived and died and who rose again. He had the chance to preach what Paul preached about repentance and forgiveness and justification by grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone. But he didn't. He told people that they were good. He told people they were not lost. He told people to love themselves. He told people to build up themselves. He told people to think positive thoughts. So they did. And if they believed what this man said, and if they trusted their souls into his care, and if they based their salvation on what this man wrote, these people went into eternity unsaved and unwashed, and they lifted up their eyes in hell, because there is nothing in Peale's books or teachings or writings that would lead anybody to salvation in Jesus Christ. Some say that because millions of people believed in the therapeutic gospel that Peale taught, that made it okay with God. It did not. How many people believe something has absolutely no effect at all in determining whether it is true? Literally millions of people believed in National Socialism in Germany in the 1930s, but they were wrong and they were evil and they died fighting to defend it. Millions of people believe that Lord Krishna is going to grab their ponytail and yank them up into heaven one day, but it's a lie. Krishna is not Lord, and they're not going to heaven. Millions of Buddhists believe that God is an overweight, half-naked, unemployed young boy who sits in the lotus position and contemplates his own navel, but he's not. God is the creator of heaven and earth, and he flies to the midst of heaven while cherubims cry out, "Holy, holy, holy, the whole earth is full of his glory." Millions of Muslims believe that they can just imagine that if they can just manage to blow themselves up and kill as many 10-year-old girls as possible, then God will let them into heaven. But he won't, and the devil has deceived them. And by the way, Islam is not a religion of peace. It is a demonic religion that encourages hate and fear, and it hurts people real bad. However many people follow something does not in any way make it to be true. Something is true only if it is true. And when you're talking about God and salvation and heaven and hell, sin and eternity, unless the Bible declares it to be true, everything and anyone that disagrees with Scripture isn't good. It is bad. It isn't noble. It is evil. It's not just simply another opinion. It is a lie. It isn't a particular take. It is either out of the straight and narrow path that leads to life eternal, or it is of the broad road that leads to destruction. And this is why, dear friends, we need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Well, I'm out of time for today, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.